Well, we have come to the last parable in Matthew 13, the parable of the net, or the parable of the fishes, as it is sometimes called. We're going to get to that in just a moment, but I should repeat my offer for those who would like to have the explanation of the rich man and Lazarus. I am not going to take time to do that on the radio broadcast now. I have done that over the radio several times. One time I used 13 broadcasts just on the story of the rich man and Lazarus. One time I did it in 6, and that we still have on tape. So if you would like to know the truth of the story in Luke 16 of the rich man and Lazarus, you can have a tape recording on cassette of 6 15-minute broadcasts on the rich man and Lazarus. You send an offering of $2.50 to help pay the expenses of this ministry and ask for the cassette tape on the rich man and Lazarus. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. The zip code is 85010. Most of you people know that the general preaching on the rich man and Lazarus is that it is a story about heaven and hell. Even though the word heaven is not mentioned in the story at all, and even though both of these men apparently can see each other, there are some strange doctrines that come out of misinterpretation of the scripture. I have articles in my files written by so-called Christian ministers who tell us that according to the rich man and Lazarus, when we're in heaven, we'll be able to look down and see our fathers and mothers and brothers and even our children moaning and groaning and screaming in the fires of hell. And that doctrine, of course, has driven many good people away from the Christian religion. They very rightly say, well, if that is the God of justice and love you Christians preach, that he's going to take you someplace and put you where you can watch your relatives be tortured, then I want nothing of that religion. And many people have turned away from the Bible because of that ungodly antichrist and false teaching. Every Christian should understand the truth of the rich man and Lazarus, and you'll put away these Jewish fables and old wives' tales that pass as Christianity. A young man from our church several years ago was stationed in Japan, and being a good Baptist, he spent many weekends with some Baptist missionaries in Japan. This went on over a period of 3 years, and he testified and witnessed to hundreds and hundreds of Japanese. And John told me that it was a very discouraging thing because he kept getting the same answer from these Japanese. And they would say, well, doesn't your religion tell me that if I come to Christ and be saved, that I'm going to go to heaven, but that all my relatives are going to burn in fire and torture? And John would have to tell them, because he knew no better, he'd been taught that in his church. And that was true, he was sorry about it, but that's what the Bible taught, that all of their relatives who had never accepted Christ would be tortured for eternity. And these Japanese, being an intelligent people, told John, well, we want nothing of your religion, then you can have it. And the Baptist missionary couple he worked with admitted to John that in 7 years in Japan, they had had one conversion. One Japanese person had claimed that he accepted Christ as his personal Savior according to their Baptist doctrine. Now, this is not the story the missionaries tell back here in America. And in fact, this same young man spent several years in Thailand with the army, and he told me the same thing was true there. He worked with the missionaries there, and the local missionaries admitted that in the past 4 years they had not had one conversion to Christianity. I know missionaries come back here to raise money. They print magazines. They go on television, and they tell you that there are thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of the heathen being converted. But in private conversation, where they can't be overheard, most of them will admit that the results in the heathen countries are nothing. Perhaps it's not because the heathen are so ignorant. Perhaps it's because they're not being told the truth of God's Word. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 13, and we'll read the parable of the net, or the parable of the fishes. It's in verse 47 through 50. Christ is speaking, Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. And here's the description of what this means. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now that is the exact opposite of what is taught in most churches today. They tell us Christ is going to come, gather the righteous from among the wicked, and take the righteous off to heaven. But every one of these parables that refers to the removal of someone, it refers to the removal of the wicked and the leaving of the righteous here. Now this parable of the net and the fishes, in effect, is identical to the parable of the tares and the wheat. The tares are gathered out from among the wheat and cast into a furnace of fire. They are destroyed. Now I should explain, which I did in my long explanation of the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, that the fire is a fire of destruction, not a fire of eternal torture. The idea, the teaching, that God Almighty is going to burn people alive in a never-dying condition in fire comes from pagan religion. It has absolutely nothing to do with what is taught in the Bible. The teaching that people will remain alive and will feel pain and smell smoke and scream and shout and their eyeballs will boil and their hair will burn but never burn off, and as some Catholic articles I have say, they'll be standing on plates of iron jumping from one foot to another while their blood boils in their veins and their eyeballs are seared in their sockets. Now, the Catholic publication which I have that says that doesn't explain how these spirit beings have blood in their veins. But, of course, it is a very frightening and terrifying word picture of hell, and it is used as a control mechanism. You frighten these people enough of the dangers of hell, and then they'll obey the priest. And the Catholic Church has religious conquest of millions of people through the fear doctrine of hell. And the Protestant Church, unfortunately, in the last 100 years has also adopted that Catholic teaching. That was not the teaching of the Reformers in Europe of the 1400s, 1500s, 1600s, and 1700s. In fact, Martin Luther called it one of the teachings of the dunghill of the Catholic Church. That's his exact words, this teaching that the soul lives in hell and suffers. And many of you Lutherans who call yourself Lutherans simply do not know and have never been taught that Martin Luther castigated that doctrine in the strongest language. All right, getting back to the parable itself, remember this is a parable of the kingdom of heaven, which Christ said in verse 11, revealed the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven to God's disciples and concealed those same mysteries from other people. But if there's anything that you can grasp of all of the teaching of the parables we have spent the last several weeks on, if you grasp that one truth, that it is the wicked who are removed from among the just, that itself will help lead you into understanding the other truths of the kingdom and the truths of what is going to happen here in this end of the age. And also, let me repeat another basic fundamental doctrine of the parables or the truths of the kingdom of heaven. Inside the kingdom of heaven are both wicked people and good people. The parable of the tares identifies the people there as the children of the kingdom, planted by the Son of Man, so they would be the children of God, and the tares are sowed by the devil, and they are called the children of the wicked one, in effect, the children of the devil, and they are both in the kingdom of heaven. The teaching that the kingdom is a place where only Christians go is obviously not true. The parable of the net here shows that both the good and the bad are in it, and Christ said it's like unto a net. During the last several weeks, I have repeated over and over again that the kingdom of heaven was planted here on this North American continent, and our Christian forefathers were the seed sown in this new earth by the Son of Man. And we have grown into a kingdom, now a kingdom in which both the children of the devil and the children of the kingdom live, in which both the good fish and the bad fish live. The United States of America has been the only nation planted as a Christian nation which has gathered of every kind. All races, all nationalities, and all creeds have been gathered to this kingdom nation. We are known as the melting pot nation. And that is true just as the kingdom of heaven was in effect to be a land that would be a melting pot of all kinds. And praise the Lord, they are here, but God is going to send forth His angels to remove from this kingdom nation all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. My time is up. These parables teach the same things we read in Malachi 3, Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Daniel 11, Revelation 17, 18, and 19, and I believe tomorrow we'll spend some time on those passages of Scripture to conclude this study of the parables. Until then, goodbye. God bless you and Christian America.